you know, good game defensively. That I felt that they allowed Winnipeg to kind of play how Winnipeg wanted through the neutral zone and in their own defensive zone. And I think Edmonton neutral zone and offensive zone are the two areas they got to be better at.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with that. I mean, if you look at what they gave up, I mean, it was a crazy, fluky kind of tip-in goal that ends up being the game winner. And then they get a weird bounce. Like, even when the net was empty and they were down a goal, the way they've been playing, you thought, you know what? This Oilers team can probably get itself a chance or two in this last little bit. Well, puck takes a funny bounce off a referee's skate who was kind of looking the wrong way. And Draisaitl, a bit of a flyby on the play, but it was a weird broken play. And it's in the net and the game's over. So, you know, they didn't give up a ton. But I agree. Neutral zone and in, Winnipeg did a great job. They did a better job than they did all year. And that game went exactly the way the Jets, you know, would have hoped. Don't give them – you know, I went back and watched all of McDavid's shifts this morning and Draisaitl's, and they just – McDavid had a couple looks off the rush, but they just didn't have a lot of those, you know, cross the blue line, nice east-west pass, great shot on net. Like, there just wasn't a lot of that. And I think that's partly the Oilers, but I think it's a big-time, you know, credit to the Jets, too.
Yeah, I give the Jets credit. I thought the Oilers passing right from the first period on was, like, sloppy. They, you know what, they were missing passes. They're trying to get passes through that didn't work. And so, you know, who knows if they just weren't on their game in the small details. They weren't bad defensively. They didn't give up a lot, but I felt you can give Winnipeg credit, but I also think Edmonton holds some responsibility that they didn't create as much as they would like. Like, there was a few times, Shager, where McDavid's coming in on the blue line and you know what? There wasn't even anybody standing him up and he would chip it in. That's not really playing to his forte at all.
Yeah, I would agree. There were I tracked all of his rushes through the neutral zone. And, you know, there was one where he crossed the blue line and it was kind of like a two-on-two type scenario when he chipped it in, which, I mean, look, sometimes you got to read it and make the safe play and who knows. You know, another time, long shot from way out, not necessarily grabbing the thing and charging his way through. He had a couple where he certainly did do that. He had the one where he fell. Oiler fans wanted a penalty, but I think he just fell. He had another where he made a beautiful move to split the D, slid it back in the opposite direction, and just slid it a little bit wide. So it's not like he didn't have his looks or his chances. Winnipeg just didn't gift him anything. You know, they didn't make the big mistake where all of a sudden it's like a two-on-one coming out of the corner, and boom, boom, and it's in the net because there's no way Hellebuck could get across. They really did a good job of limiting that sort of five-star mistake that the Oilers just pounce on so often during the regular season.
You mentioned Smith and Bear just getting maintenance days today. Tippett, I know you asked him about the lines. He said, hey, we didn't really do any line rushes. I'll say this, though. If you're going to play McDavid and Draisaitl, which obviously I think at some point in the game they're going to do that, whether they start together or start apart, whatever. But if they put them together, I think it's better to put Yamamoto with them because Puljujarvi on the second line will give you a chance to create something. Yamamoto, Kahuna, Nugent Hopkins in the playoffs, to me, it's way too small, way too slight. And those guys, you know, none of them have produced enough 5-on-5 to suddenly make me think they're going to do it in the playoffs. So I think putting Puljujarvi there, I don't see that as a demotion. I see it as the fact that I think Puljujarvi is going to be the lifeblood of that line.
Yeah, so I'll take you through exactly what I saw today at practice, right? They only did one drill where they skated in threesomes, in lines. It started as a one-man, and then all of a sudden the second forward would jump in, and then the third forward would jump in to complete the line. And they ran it through about four or five times, and every single time, Cahoon was with McDavid and Draisaitl. Every single time, Puljujarvi was with Nugent Hopkins and Yamamoto, and the bottom two lines were completely intact. So every time the third player joined, those lines were intact. So I get that they didn't run any traditional lines today, like you would dump it in and break out, you know, three guys wide and over and over and over again. But that wasn't nothing. So I'm not saying anybody's, you know, they didn't run traditional lines, but they absolutely ran. And I double-checked the viz. It's definitely there. Three, four times they ran through as a threesome.
And who was on the right wing, Draisaitl?
Well, the play kind of developed funny because they would be on the regroup, and so it sort of depended on who was swinging where. That's just it. It didn't start like a traditional line rush. It would just go from a two-man rush in one direction, and then the other guy would swing into the drill. So because it was swinging back and forth in both directions, they weren't necessarily always on the same side. But from what I could tell, it looked like the Hoon stay on the left. And I think if they were to consider that configuration, I think that's the way it would go, right? Cahoon would just stay over where he plays, you know, normally on the left side. But Draisaitl and McDavid both kind of shift around a lot either. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. You know, there's some sense to it, to the point you just made. If you're going to play McDavid and Draisaitl together, what's your best chance for a second line that can really push play a little bit? It's probably Puljujärvi with, you know, using Puljujärvi to do that. So there's some sense to it, but they said not to read into it. And it'll probably be an optional skate tomorrow, so we might not know till game time.
Yeah, and that's fair. Like, Draisaitl did play the right side when him, Maroon, and McDavid played together, right? So it's happened. Yep. The only question is, if you did that, then one of Puljujärvi or Yamamoto is going to play the left side, and neither one of them has done that very
exactly.
much. So it's an option. It's an option to do. I could see Puljujärvi, Cahoon, and Nugent Hopkins potentially, because that's what we saw yesterday. Although, you know, Dave Tippett was trying a lot of different combinations. Like, I thought Archibald and Puljujärvi were the two best forwards. I didn't really have a forward who I thought was bad, that didn't do anything in the game. There was just a lot of, the rest were kind of just okay, but Archibald and Puljujärvi were, to me, the two most noticeable and most impactful forwards. Was there anybody who caught your eye?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. You know, I think Yamamoto, like, I think he got a rough ride in that game. He took a few big hits. We all saw the high stick that was real close to his eye. That had to be a little jarring to take a shot that hard right below your eye. You know, as I was rewatching again this morning, he actually made a lot of really strong plays where he dug pucks out of the corner. He made a lot of really strong plays to the middle of the ice, like to the net. I didn't mind his game as much upon revisiting it today. But I agree with you. There were some good performances, but there weren't really any great ones. And Archibald did what he's supposed to do. Puljujärvi had a real strong game. But they carried play, but they didn't dominate at all. And I guess you shouldn't expect to in the playoffs. Everybody's trying hard.
Yeah, it's true. Like, it's hard to dominate, but I think, you know, your best players have to be impactful players, and I think you can expect more from Draisaitl McDavid. Like, McDavid, if you just look at it from a pure numbers standpoint, to his production in his career in the playoffs hasn't been remotely close to the level of his being in the regular season. And if you take out the Chicago series, which some say isn't a real playoff series, well, then it's way lower. So, you know, I expect 97 to have a better game tomorrow night. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Do you think there'll be any lineup changes?
Based on everything I saw today, I would say no. Because I watched the taxi squad skate, and you know, the other left defenseman burned their legs real good today, like to the point where there's no way they're playing tomorrow. You know, unless, I don't know, it would surprise me. Both Russell and Caleb Jones burned the legs pretty good today. So that tells me no swap out with Cuckoo. You know, did they make a change? Do you maybe consider a Devin Shore? Because he plays the game a little heavier, maybe. So maybe you look at that. I'm not sure how you felt about McLeod's game. I mean, he's a young kid. He's just doing all this stuff for the first time. So, you don't want to pile onto him. But at the same time, I think it's important to have players in your bottom six that understand you have to engage physically. It's playoff time, and that's not the way McLeod plays. So, in my opinion, he either needs to start playing a little bit more like that, where you just finish off some checks, because you need to have that from your bottom six. So I don't know if maybe they consider a change there. I doubt it, though. I think Tippett was okay with his game, and I don't think they're ready to move on from him as an every-night guy just yet. But that would be the only thing that, you know, I would really consider. You?
No, I would agree. That's the only guy I would look to take out, you know, the Jets. Now, and I'm not even sure, like, I look at McLeod, and the only thing, and I know you and I talked about it in the press box, like, I saw four different occasions when you're on the forecheck, and he's not engaging physically at all. And in the playoffs, you can't be a perimeter guy. You've got to get your nose as a, you know, Tom Rennie or Ken Hitchcock would say, you got to play on the inside. And I just haven't seen enough of that. Hey, it's a big man's game in the playoffs. It's totally different, but I think he'll need to be a little bit more engaged in the play. Or, you know, it's going to be hard for him to play more minutes. And so that's the thing. Like, he only played, I think, 7 or 8 minutes last night. It's hard for any player to make an impact in those minutes. Totally fair. But in his first period when he was getting a regular shift, I think his play, and Dave Tippett's not going to come down on a rookie because he had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. I want to make that abundantly clear. I'm not piling on. Yeah. I'm just saying if there was a guy, he would possibly be the one that you could do it with. And I think the other thing that the Oilers have to do is I think they need more engagement from their defensemen. Off of the rush, they got to get their gate. They got to get their D man up in the play a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I thought that they were struggling to make. You know, I thought early they were struggling to make plays. I think the nervousness or the jitters or the anxiousness, as Chiasson said today, I think it really showed up in just their simple in their hands. You know, Darnell Nurse in particular, he just kind of a few plays where he normally this year he wouldn't be bobbling pucks in a certain way. He wouldn't be, you know, just the way he went about a few things. And it wasn't just him. It was passes were off and such. So I think whatever nerves they were feeling, it manifested itself in their hands. And all of a sudden, those skill, snappy plays that they rely on so much weren't there for them. And I think that threw them off. They got control of it, and they were better in the second and the third. I will ask you this, though. You know, and we'll see on Dubois and Ehlers. But if the Winnipeg Jets don't have either of those players, would it not make more sense to play McDavid and Draisaitl together because they're more of a, you know, one and a half line opponent? And that maybe if you feel like you can get something more out of your second line, if you can put a serviceable line together, normally when the Jets are healthy, it's a no-brainer. You play those guys apart. But absent two of their top six forwards, you get away with Leon and Connor together. I mean, they went to that late in the game. And that was some of their more dangerous looks. So, I don't know. I wonder if those other two aren't in the lineup at all, you go, you know what? Load it up. You know, challenge Nugent Hopkins and company to with Puljujarvi or whoever to put together some good minutes as a second line, but load it up because the Jets are a little depleted.
Oh, I think it makes total valid sense. I think you can definitely consider that. Why not? Because it's not like the Jets, you know, their second line of, you know, of Stastny and Vesalainen, and that's not a line where you'd be like, geez, we can't put Puljujarvi and Nugent Hopkins out against them. They get murdered. Like, I don't see that at all.
Yeah. So I just wonder if what we saw at practice today, like, I don't know. This is the way, to me, it works. There's lines on the board every day. You don't ever start a practice with no lines on the board. So just because your practice doesn't have a whole bunch of line rushes and such, my guess is you still got lines on the board. And so players will naturally gravitate in whatever drills they're doing. If it has any component at all of playing three guys together or rushes or whatever, they'll gravitate into their lines. So I don't know. My guess is that is what was on the board today. I'm not saying it'll be what they play with tomorrow, but why would you just randomly gravitate towards that configuration if there were absolutely no line rushes today? So, and it had Draisaitl and McDavid together. So we shall see. Now, the other thing I'll say is they ran two drills at the same time. At one end, it was the center iceman working on quick little circles and a quick out pass from the D-man. At the other end, it was the wingers putting pucks on net, driving to the net, then going to the crease for when the quick shot came in. And both Draisaitl and McDavid were down on the end of the ice where the centers were. Nugent Hopkins was down on the far end where the wingers were. So there's that, too. But, you know, we're reading a little much into it, but it's playoff time. Why not?
Why not, Shogger? Quickly, before we let you go, so my question to you is, what do you feel the Oilers need to do to spike the peak? What's their key to spike the peak tomorrow night?
Spike the peak?
You don't know what that means?
Spike the peak.
It's one of Strutty's. It's a Struttyism that he was explaining to us yesterday. And if you don't know what it is, which many of us don't, just send him a text and ask him to explain what spike the peak is. So
does that happen during the game, or is that something in their preparation? Is that?
Well, I think it can be both. I think it can be both. Like maybe it has to start in the preparation and then magnify itself. manifest itself, excuse me, in the game.
I mean, spiking the peak would be, it's almost like you want to take the peak and get rid of it by spiking it, which I don't know why you would want to get rid of a spike in your game or a peak in your game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Strutty was telling us about, he was trying to remember shirts that they had when he was a member of the Rangers. And yeah, he completely butchered it. One he thought was spike the peak. The other one he thought was a bite back at the apple.
You know what, Greg? You're not afraid to mix the odd metaphor too there, pal.
So I know, but dude, that's why it was great. But we're just trying to spike the peak is our new thing. I think, I think to me, spike the peak is when you're dominating. So we'll just have to find times when people spike the peak.
This goes back to one of the greatest of all time, and I will not say who said it, but this is like spending time and space with a mixed metaphor. Player said to me once, what happened in the past is in the past. What happens in the future is water under the bridge.
Yeah, I can guess who said that too.
I'm not saying. We'll see you, pal.